Tom, can you hear them? Can you hear the listener?
No.
They're crying out in confusion, Tom. There's three podcasts in their iTunes feed. They don't know what's going on.
I think you better see somebody about that, man.
I think I better
add. In your head.
Tom, I'm out of tag. No, Thomas, what I was trying to get across is our listener must be very, very confused right now, as there are three new podcasts. This is episode 57.
I'm confused.
We've jumped from 54 to 57. How did that happen?
How did that happen?
Well,
I need this explaining.
This week we interviewed two amazing guests on our podcast.
Amazing guests.
Jonathan Smith of TT Games and also indie darling Mike Bethel. creator of Thomas Was Alone.
Darling.
He was. He was one of the nicest chaps I've ever met. So cheers, both of them, for being on our podcast.
Both lovely chaps and great little interviews.
They are. If you want to hear about Mike Bethel's creative process, then you can check out episode 56 with Mike Bethel. If you want to hear about some classic games mags as well as TT Games, then check out episode 55 with Jonathan Smith. Good times, Tom. It's been a busy week. Usually, obviously, we would have just put out an interview, but these two interviews kind of refer to each other.
They do.
In a way that I think it's inseparable to have them, because they were recorded one after another, so it seemed a bit weird to release them as technical episodes. But it's also been a colossal week in games. We've had not only Watch Dogs, but Mario Kart 8, as well as a whole host of other games we've been playing. It was the week before, but we sarcastically made remarks about that, and quite good.
Yeah, no, very good, actually. I bought it myself.
You did, Tom. You went out and you splashed the cash.
I felt, you know, so compelled by the reviews I'd seen online, some video reviews, that I had to try the game out. I'm not disappointed.
Indeed. So how was your trip to the UK? I guess we should get that off the bat first.
Okay, yeah. It was lovely. I went to a wedding. Wedding of all weddings. A very good wedding. I'd say it rates 5 out of 5 on the wedding scale.
Does that wedding scale consist of like tiered cakes? A very tall cake.
To be fair, it's only the third wedding I've ever been to. It's definitely top tier stuff, this last wedding.
Okay.
Congratulations to Vicky and Danny on celebrating their wedding. It was very nice for myself and my girlfriend to be invited, and we had a lovely time.
Coolio. I understand while you were there, Thomas, you also snuck in some games. Actually,
I did a little.
A reference to last week's podcast, did you actually find out what those 3DS titles you wanted to buy were?
No.
Oh, great.
They kind of got lost in the mountain of other games I've been into over the past just over a week.
You have a very full page there, a fuller page than I've seen in a while from your gaming exploits.
Yep.
Kick it off, Tom. What have you been playing?
What have I been playing? Okay, so we'll start from the beginning, shall we? What I played over the weekend I was back in the UK. I was a busy guy, so there wasn't a lot of time to sit down and game, but I did sneak in a bit of handheld gaming on my new Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Ooh, hopefully not at the back of the church, right?
No. not at all. Honest. No. What a great little console that is. I was very impressed with it. I'd never actually seen one, I was going to say, in the flesh, you know.
Really? Have you never had a chance to play on one before?
Never had a chance to play on one. I love its clicky little stick, which we did mention on the podcast
previously.
We're trying to remember whether it had one. I can confirm it does, and it's very nice.
That clicky stick is very nice. I remember playing Capcom versus SNK on it. Mm. It's also a very good game.
The closest comparison, I think, to it would be the Game Boy Color.
All right.
I think they're both of similar power. You both have to kind of get in the right light to be able to see what's on the screen.
Yeah.
But that's how handhelds were. You know, we're kind of spoilt now for our backlit bundles of joy that we carry around in our pockets now. But
true.
This was a very nice piece of kit for its time. It's had some really great games on it. I was lucky enough to sample Sonic Pocket Adventure, which is a remake of Sonic 2. It's kind of stripped back. It doesn't feature all the levels, but it does feature the classic gameplay. Sonic controls a dream as you'd expect. They haven't messed up that at all. The visuals are great. Very well animated. Nice new sprites as well in there. Sonic himself looks as he does in Sonic Adventure. So it was released around the same time as, you know, Sonic's relaunch on Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Metal Slug second mission, which is a really, really fun Metal Slug game. I think a perfect portable Metal Slug, probably the best portable Metal Slug I've ever played. For one thing, you have lives as opposed to one hit and you're dead and start over. So it plays that in very small chunks. The levels are very short and you can just pick up and do a level or two and put it down.
It does have a save feature, right?
It does have a save feature, yeah.
Which is kind of nice. It's like, I thought about that.
I think I've... It kind of plays missions in a seemingly random order. Okay. It will go from level 1 to level 6 to level... I'm not sure, quite sure why it's doing that. I found that a little bit confusing. I played level 18 the other day.
Interesting.
But maybe I really have been playing that long. I don't know. Because it just is that playable. And again, the animation is sublime. The sprites on the Neo Geo Pocket Color are amazing. One thing I did notice about the console itself was when I first put the two batteries in, just like the Game Boy Color, and it didn't play. And I was like, what's going on here? Found out it needs a separate battery, like a watch battery, you know, the round lithium batteries.
Yes.
And it uses that, I think, in a similar way the Saturn does to save data and things onto the console itself.
Okay.
I think, and system settings such as time and date, which it saves.
Interesting.
So that was a little bit different. And I was a bit worried at first it wouldn't work until I worked out that.
You
and luckily, I had
the
lithium battery to play it. But great console and two great games to start my collection.
Cool. Are you going to go into the crazy world that we've hinted at of collecting all of the Neo Geo games?
No.
Because that would be silly.
I'm not going to do that. But I did pick up a few other ones. I'll just briefly mention them now. Fatal Fury Contact.
Okay.
King of Fighters R2. And Pac-Man is a simple port of Pac-Man.
Okay,
cool. All were very affordable. All came in under the £5 mark each. Just cartridges, no boxes.
Okay.
But it's an affordable system to get games for.
Much like the Game Boy itself. Very, very affordable, both of them, I think.
Yeah.
The handheld consoles of that day are produced in such quantities that they're very available. Obviously, the Neo Geo Pocket, not as popular, perhaps, as the Nintendo consoles, but...
I imagine there's like big warehouses full of unsold Neo Geo Pocket Color games that some distributors, wholesalers have got hold of. And because the guy I bought Fatal Fury Contact off eBay from, he had like over 10 copies of it.
Yeah.
So he must have had a bulk. I remember back in the day walking to Game Station, seeing Neo Geo Pocket Colors in blister packs with a section of like 6 games with them.
Yeah.
You know, probably released by some company who bought a lot of them, you know.
Yeah, and then
selling
to shift
them all. Yeah. So, yeah, they are out there, very affordable. I've also got my eye on a copy of Capcom versus SNK Match of the Millennium for
yes.
the year. There's one on Games World BOD.
Oh, really?
Which I haven't got around to purchasing yet, but I do intend to.
I think you should. I'm actually going to go play a game of Mario Kart with Adam after this.
Oh, wow.
So
fantastic. Mario Kart, you mentioned?
Yes, Mario Kart on the Wii U, Thomas. That's my big purchase this week.
Also mine, but mine hasn't arrived yet.
Yours hasn't arrived.
I ordered it online.
I shelled out for the limited edition just so I could get that big blue chunky shell.
Are you happy with your big blue chunky shell?
Well, my idea of it was similar to my N64 stories I've talked about in the past, of just throwing the shell at whoever's in first, because it is quite nice.
It's dangerous.
It is very,
very
sharp.
Pointy.
Yeah, I can't actually throw it. I don't think I have the heart just in case I accidentally blind someone.
It's a good size. It's not tiny, is it?
Yeah. It is kind of, you know, like a big, slightly bigger than a tennis ball. It's got a good weight to it as well.
It comes with a nice stand.
It does come with a nice stand.
With an etched Mario Kart 8 logo
on the
transparent,
bit of plastic.
Stand bit, yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah. Also, similar kind of size, I guess, in terms of the stand and things, as the Legend of Zelda Ganon statue, which came with Wind Waker HD. Yeah.
Nintendo really just started doing this in a big way, haven't they? Releasing special editions with collectible objects. It's a nice trend to see, and it's nice that Nintendo really are releasing quality collectible
Yeah, it's not tat. At least, you know, you could argue who would want a shell. I asked myself that very same question.
I asked myself that and thought, no, I don't want one, but hey, if it worked for you, Matthew.
It doesn't. I really kind of regret it now. Like I said, I wanted to throw it, but it was too good a quality to be a launchable item.
But let's forget about the shell.
Yes, now. The game itself.
The game itself we need to talk about.
It's a dream, Tom.
I was playing this morning again. We played it quite a lot of the last few days. And it's sublime. The way this game handles is beautiful. And it's incredibly satisfying. And it makes it incredibly addictive as well.
I'm a bit worried,
though. As a Mario Kart game should be.
In terms of longevity as a single-player experience, of how much there is to unlock.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's probably a few hidden away unlockables. Diddy Kong has been mentioned in Famitsu. And then he's not actually in the game as an unlock we've seen. And obviously Nintendo have done this thing with Mercedes where they have DLC. So it'll be interesting to see if they release the characters perhaps as DLC.
Oh,
or if they are Smash Brothers-esque and hidden in the game somewhere.
Yeah, we found as we've unlocked them, they've unlocked randomly pretty much. Because our friend Austin is unlocking them himself on his copy at home and he has unlocked different ones. To the ones he actually unlocked on my save file on my Wii the other day.
And I mean, I actually have different Koopa Kids to you on my copy already, which is a bit odd, but I guess it just keeps you playing. I guess there's no set way of, you know, keeping the console on for 100 hours or whatever, as there was in, say, Smash Brothers to unlock Mewtwo on the GameCube. Or any of those crazy shenanigans. Maybe there are. Maybe once people have played a certain amount of Mario Kart, certain races will start to unlock. And
yeah, I'm not sure if there's a system. There was a very weird system for unlocking characters in Dead Alive 5. I remember that. Maybe this has a similar sort of weird unlock system.
Perhaps it has. We're
not privy to at the moment. But yeah, are you concerned there's not so much to unlock? Or
it doesn't seem that way. Like, I mean, you and Austin played that game for a good day.
Mostly Austin.
You seem to have most of the things unlocked. Not the stamps, perhaps, but most of the characters.
Yeah, the stamps you get from playing as a character for at least once. You know, I played as Donkey Kong this morning, got the Donkey Kong stamp, for instance. The characters, at the beginning, they were coming very fast. Every time we do a cup, we'd get a character. And that kind of slowed down. I was trying to complete, I think it was a Star Cup, I think, on 100cc, which is the only one we haven't got 3 stars on out of the 50cc, 100cc cups. I nearly did it. Wario just beat me to the finish line on Bowser's Castle, which is a particularly tough course.
Yeah.
So I was nearly there. So that's doable. And then we've just got the 150cc cups to...
I did it all yesterday. I had a wonderful thing of me trying to unlock it, and in the wrath of Mario Kart ensued in the fact that I was almost over the finish line in this Star Cup on Rainbow Road. I got blue shelled, then I got a red shell, then another red shell, and then I got starred, and I came in sixth. I was inches away from the finish line.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying. I was first on all the other three courses.
That's Mario Kart.
But in gameplay perspective, it is a very fun, very playable game. It's very pick-up-and-play friendly. Admittedly, I did find myself slightly frustrated when playing with our good friend Austin, who's very good at the game, because I seemed to be locked in third or fourth because I didn't have all of the power slides around every corner locked down and I didn't know the course well enough.
That comes in time, and it also depends on what vehicles. I think bikes go around corners particularly smoothly. That's when I was talking about how smooth the handling is. It was mainly down to something this morning. I was playing with Donkey Kong with a certain bike, and I just glided around the course. It was beautiful.
Whereas I was playing with Koopa Troopa mainly in karts, because that's how I like to play Mario Kart. And I found it a bit of a nightmare to get used to at first. Like, he handled very differently to he has in the previous games. But I kind of got used to it.
You do get used to it. And lots of new objects to customize your karts with, and you unlock them as you collect coins, which are back.
Yes.
Which is nice, you know, often you get a surprise. You've collected so many coins, you've now got a new object. And the objects you get for the vehicles are really cool, aren't they? Quite unique. I unlocked the Yoshi bike this morning.
Yes.
Which is fun. And there was a, what are they called? The gliders for when you're floating that pop out of the back of your car and help you glide. That Bowser one that we unlocked the other day
shaped like Bowser.
Was very cool. And it, and the game, we'll just mention how beautiful the visuals are. That kite, that glider, is transparent slightly as well.
Yeah.
It's these tiny details. And it's at first, you know, when I first saw Mario Kart 8, I thought, this is a bit different. I've never seen a Mario world so detailed before. You always kind of expect them, like 3D world, to be very round and glossy and solid textures without, you know, solid shapes without textures. But this, if it works, it looks beautiful. It really does. Just a little bit different than what I'm used to and seeing a Mario game.
It is perhaps the most beautiful game Nintendo's ever made, I would say, arguably. Definitely shows that the Wii U can produce stunning visuals when it tries.
Yeah. I mean, you could say maybe Wind Waker.
Oh, yeah. Well, that goes without saying.
But for different reasons. But in terms of just graphic fidelity and detail and lighting and nice little touches, nice little animation and things like when the moustache wobbles up and down and things like that. Yeah, beautiful to look at, a dream to play. And I tell you, I was playing online, which is, I think, most enjoyable way to play rather than playing the computer this morning. And I couldn't stop playing. I was like so driven to get first place.
Yeah.
I didn't manage it. I lost countless races I played, but got second a couple of times.
Nice.
But that's it. The Mario Kart is a true multiplayer experience, one of the greatest multiplayer games ever conceived.
Have you tried any of the Mario Kart TV stuff?
No, not investigated that yet.
Okay, we'll have to look into that in the week then, make some highlight reels and upload it.
Sure, yeah. It brings up that highlight that if only it had one criticism of the game, is when you meant to move on to the next race, it doesn't automatically select next race, it automatically selects view highlights. And so that's a tiny minor niggle that it's not something I want to do after every race.
No, and especially when you're kind of in that mood of automatically clicking A and then you click on it. Yeah,
yeah. But that is very trivial. The game is fantastic. Every Wii owner, if you like karting games.
I think if you own a Wii U, I think there's a good chance you're going to buy Mario Kart 8. Honestly, I would recommend playing it. Obviously, there's a great promotion in the US and the UK at the moment, where if you buy a copy of Mario Kart 8, Nintendo is actually giving you a free game. I've yet to claim mine yet, and obviously Tom, yours hasn't arrived. I'm going to pick up the Sonic and Mario Winter Olympics game just because it's the only one that I probably won't own physically. So it'll be worth having a look at.
For free.
Exactly.
You can grumble.
Who can fault that? But I honestly think it's a fantastic game. If you guys have made your own highlight clips, please share them with us on Twitter at TMAcast. We'd love to see them.
We'd love to play you online. Train friend codes.
Exactly. We'll post them up on Twitter in the week. We'll see if we can arrange something. Both Tom and I have a Wii U, so maybe we'll play with a lot of you in one go.
That'd be good.
It will. What else have you been playing, Tom?
What else have I been playing? Well, I've mentioned earlier that I picked up Wolfenstein New Order.
Yes.
Okay. I tell you what I like about this the most. It's incredibly satisfying shooting people.
Right.
It's the way they splatter, Matthew.
Okay. This doesn't make you so mental at all. Carry on.
It's quite a joyous thing, especially when you like pick up take a sentry gun off its mounting and then sort of mow down these Nazis, you know. But yeah, the game, I'd heard a lot about the story being particularly good. Now, you long-time listeners will know I'm not a fan of cutscenes in video games usually,
you are not.
Or stories in general. I don't always feel that video games are the perfect medium for telling stories. Unless they're really well written and well acted, as seems to be the case with Wolfenstein.
Yes.
It doesn't kind of get into the story until after the prologue, which is quite a long bit at the beginning of the game. But when you actually get into the story and some of the characters' motivations and the scenarios that play out are very involving, and the characters are very real, and you do care about them. This is down, I guess, to the acting and the believable performances, motion captured, and the voices of the characters as well.
Indeed. Yeah. It is very... Some of the set pieces in the game are, while perhaps the subject matter is horrific, they are very beautiful to look at. The character animation is top-notch. It really pushes the consoles.
You can tell it's running on the Rage engine.
Yes.
In the fact that the textures aren't so sharp throughout the game, which was a thing with Rage as well, but it was rendering so much in one go.
Yeah.
That was why that was. It was interesting playing, not to take anything away from the graphical prowess of Wolfenstein. I was playing Call of Duty Black Ops 2 on the Wii U this morning, and it does look considerably nicer and cleaner and more detailed.
I would also point out, though, that you are playing it on the PS3 and not PS4, Xbox One, or PC.
Yeah,
well, I would imagine the game would look amazing.
Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard mixed things about this. I heard some reviewers say that they bought the Xbox One version. They were saying they didn't think there was too much of a difference in the graphics. But I think having played the PS3 version, I can see where the next-gen consoles would certainly be able to push it a little bit further.
Yeah.
It's quite obvious. But this, again, not to say the game looks bad on the last-gen systems.
And I guess this is another victim of a game that's been ported backwards and rather than focusing on the new consoles, which is, I believe, something that Watch Dogs suffers from a little bit. Picked it up on Tuesday. I wasn't really going to buy it, perhaps because I was more focused and more excited for Mario Kart 8, but I thought, I really wanted to play this game when it was announced. Some of the more recent trailers had kind of put me off because it looked a bit like GTA 5. And
I certainly thought that when you started playing it.
Yeah, lo and behold, it did remind me a lot of GTA 5, which is a bit sad because despite I've only played about an hour and a half of it, the first hour of the game is very overwhelming in terms of what happens. Like, you kind of get thrown into the thick of a mission where you're trying to hack something and then things go wrong, and you're introduced to a lot of abilities that you have, such as hacking, such as the ability to jump into cameras and look around the room and then jump from camera to camera in order to get a better scope of a room and to solve puzzles. You can blow things up in the room that are electronic. You can turn off lights. You can do all these crazy, cool things. And that bit of the game seems like a very fun game. The bit where you're in a controlled environment and you can kind of exploit these powers to the best of their abilities. However, when I'm out in the open world, I kind of don't want to be out in the open world.
Ooh,
it feels a bit too expansive for what I want to do. And when I was trying to do one of the missions where you occasionally get notified that there's a guy about to commit a crime, Minority Report style, in the area, you can kind of go over there and try and stop it. However, when you're trying to do all these hacking abilities and stuff in a big open world, it's obviously meant to feel expansive and allow you to do things in different ways. I kind of cocked things up a few times. Like, I would jump from a security camera, because most of it requires you pressing the square button to do these various hacks and stuff. I accidentally blew up one of these street lamps, which scared a guy off, and I didn't mean to. I meant to jump from a camera to another camera, and then it was just kind of, there was an option in the middle to blow something up that I didn't actually intend to do. So there's a lot going on screen at once, and a few people I've chatted to have had the same feeling, that it's very overwhelming. There's no...
Yeah.
Whereas in a game like, say, Minecraft or something, where there's no hand-holding and you're in an environment that kind of encourages you to explore and try different things out, that's cool. When you're in something like Transistor, which does exactly the same thing, just kind of dumps you in the game, leaves you to figure it out for yourself, but is a small game, it is within scope of itself, and you can kind of have time to figure all these things out rather than just going at the start of the game. Use a lot of really quick tutorials, figure it out.
You felt it was like that the tutorials were too quick. It didn't give you a good chance to learn the controls.
Yes, for such a vastly complex game, it kind of threw me in, and then I really don't know what I'm doing. And as a result, I've kind of got no urge to go back to it, because I will have to figure all this stuff out.
I mean, that worked for Wolfenstein for me. It doesn't hold your hand at the beginning particularly, or spend a lot of time teaching you controls. It may briefly mention things, but kind of assumes you already know what you have to do.
But it's a first-person shooter.
It's the nature of the game. It's a little bit more straightforward than something like Watch Dogs.
If it were more towards the Assassin's Creed style rather than the open-worldness of GTA, I would be completely on board with this game. Mm-hmm. It seems very fun. It does suffer graphical fidelity-wise by being a game that is also available on last gen. Like, some of the animation you could see in the pre-E3 demo that they released in 2012, was it? The first time we saw Watch Dogs. it looks fantastic. Like, it is really pushing the boundaries of both character animation.
And that was definitely running on next-gen hardware.
It was running on what PC they said was next-gen hardware or PC at the time. But even the PC version apparently is suffered as a result of it being Xbox 360 and PS3. Mm. Which is a bit of a shame, because the combat in it seems very solid. There are some great mechanics. Like I've said, the ability to hack and things is very rewarding, and the kind of, when you're walking on the street and you see people's faces and then it kind of tells you little fun snippets about them, it's kind of funny. Like, you'll walk past someone and be like, enjoys watching torture porn, is seeing a therapist and all these kind of things on different people, and it kind of makes you smile a little bit and kind of makes you think about your own media output. But it's kind of a double-edged sword, because while it says, like, oh yeah, we should be suspicious, or all our details are online, every now and again it wants me to connect to the Ubisoft servers so I can check in a thing for an achievement. And I'm just like, why the fuck would I want to connect to the Ubisoft? Why can't I just do this in the game? Why do you need these vital statistics for my Uplay account? It's frustrating. Yeah,
but you can choose to ignore that if you wish.
You can, but then you can't get the most out of the game, because it's all XP-based. So obviously, if you find these landmarks, you want to click square on them because you want the XP to level up your traits. Mm. But that means you need to connect to the Ubisoft servers. And while I was playing it, because there was obviously a lot of people playing it, it took about 5 minutes every time I wanted to do it.
Really?
Yes.
That's poor.
Very frustrating.
I'll go back to Wolfenstein again, naturally, because it just reminded me of something there. When you die in Wolfenstein, you have to wait quite a lot for the game to reload again to get you back in there, which is just like frustration. You know, anything that takes you away from the game and out of the experience is a negative. I don't know if it's any better on the next-gen systems or not. If for anyone who's played Wolfenstein on the Xbox One or PS4, let us know. Does it take a lot of time once you die for it to reload the last checkpoint? That would be interesting to find out.
It will be. Hmm. So, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed. I think I'll jump back into it. I'll probably talk about it more in depth next week.
Okay.
But not high hopes at the moment. I'm looking forward more to playing Mario Kart 8 rather than Watch Dogs. Mm. It's a bit of a shame. But there we go. What else have you picked up and played this week, Tom? Just give us a quick run through.
Yeah, well, I picked up some Japanese fighting games very recently.
Oh, really?
I got them sent to the UK, so I was able to bring them back with me. Yeah. I came back to Denmark. So a couple of PS1 ones. Blue Breaker Burst and Slap Happy Rhythm Busters.
Which is the greatest name of any game.
Which is a great title, and actually a fantastic 2D style fighter. It's actually rendered on the character engine in 3D. Where backgrounds, I think, are 2D. But it's got a very vibrant presentation. I guess you could compare it to Jet Set Radio in a way. It controls like all the best 2D fighters do. Okay. It's very easy to pick up and play. It's very smooth. You've got a great bunch of likable, unique characters. It's got a good speed to it. The music's very kind of techno.
Yes.
Some of it's a little bit jarring, but I'll forgive it. Because the gameplay really is that good. And it's, I've played a lot of fighters in my time, both 2D and 3D. And this is one of the better ones.
Okay.
Certainly. So for anyone who's into fighting games and have got able to play Japanese PS1 games on whatever system they've got, Slap Happy Rhythm Busters is definitely one to add to your collection. One that's not recommended by myself to add to your PlayStation 1 fighter collection is Blue Breaker Burst, which, having seen a video on YouTube of some of the combos and such and special moves, I was like, oh yeah, this looks cool, I'll get this. But no, it's not good.
Really?
It's subpar Battle Arena Toshinden. It's kind of like Soul Calibur in the way that your characters have weapons, but and you can step in and out, you can walk around, but it's just very slow, and the response time between pressing a button and the action taking place isn't instantaneous.
So what you're trying to tell me is it's no Zero Divide.
It is not as good as Zero Divide.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Really?
And that's
I like Zero Divide.
A good measure of quality. Pretty average fighting game, that Zero Divide. I always thought.
Fun robots, though, made of polygons.
But Blue Breaker Burst, don't bother. I wasted my money on that.
So you don't have
to. Don't make the same mistake as I did. There are much better fighters out there. I also went back and finally got around to playing a PS2 fighter, which I can't pronounce the name of, but it's based on popular anime, Yu Yu
Hakusho.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I am familiar with it.
Forever. And this was better than Blue Breaker Burst.
Okay.
It was very similar to Dragon Ball Z, what are they called? Budokai.
Yes.
Games on the
PS2. I would imagine it was. This is actually a very popular anime, which has similar martial arts aesthetics as Dragon Ball, so it makes a lot of sense. And also a fighting game series with quite a lineage, right? It's been far back. It's been Super Nintendo,
Mega Drive. There's a particularly good one for Mega Drive, I hear. But this one didn't really grab me.
Yeah.
No, I just thought it was like Budokai, which isn't the greatest fighting game.
Yeah.
It does do a lot of cutscenes when you're fighting to show off big special moves.
Yes.
A game that does that much better. Released more recently is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle, which I played again a little bit this week, and I heartily recommend.
Yes, it did look very fun when you and our good friend Austin were playing it.
Yep. So, played them in terms of fighting games. Also played a bit of Street Fighter 4. What I'm hoping to do soon is a video games tournament.
Yes.
So, invited our buddy Austin over the other day, and we're having a bit of practice session. So, we compiled a list of like about 20 games that kind of varied and kind of cover all consoles. Well, cover a large variety of consoles, both current and retro. So, we played a few games. What we did... Would you play Bomberman Generations on the GameCube? That was recommended by Matthew.
Favorite Bomberman game.
As because I think it's the only Bomberman we've got in the household.
Possibly, but the only reason I brought it back is because it's my favorite.
Because you can play the
memories playing Bomberman. That one. Yes.
I've never been very good at Bomberman, and I failed abysmally when playing Austin.
Really?
Just last week. So that's definitely one we have to practice on a little bit more. They've not really changed much, have they, from version to version? Because I played the PS1 version that I've got. Apart from kangaroos.
Yeah, well, the power-ups are certainly different. I mean, the frantic gameplay of Bomberman's kind of always been there from the off. Oh God, I hope I don't trap myself in a corner with a bomb thing.
Some of the items, like the kick and like that, have been present in the series for quite some time.
Things like the glove, which allows you to pick and throw bombs. Yeah. Also the speed. You can also increase the rate of your bomb. There's actually a power-up in there that makes it a mega bomb, which essentially just blows out large corners of the map, which is kind of fun.
What frustrated me most, which I didn't remember at Bomberman, was the fact that once you get hit by a bomb, that's it, you're out.
Yeah.
You only get one chance.
Yeah.
And that frustrated me because I was getting out very quickly.
Well, when you've got like four players playing, that kind of becomes part of the fun.
Yeah, and I look forward to playing it with four players as opposed to
two of you,
human, I can imagine computer.
That. Oh, yeah, well, of course, that's going to frustrate you.
Yeah. Another great multiplayer game we played on Xbox 360 was Worms. Worms 2 Armageddon was the version we played, and a classic. It remains a classic to this day. It all came back to me. I hadn't played it for a while, but this was a game I used to run home from school every day after a hard day's lessons and play it with my friend Adam. It's a great game. I hadn't forgotten how to play Worms. I remembered how much damage each weapon takes off and such. And it was good fun. So that's a definite one I'm looking forward to in the tournament. I played a bit of Dead or Alive 5. I'll just comment on Dead or Alive 5 briefly, because I unlocked something on that game this last week which shocked me.
The OMG mode.
The OMG mode. OMG is now available as a breast motion option. I had to take a photo of that statement as I was just in awe.
It's kind of creepy. Like, obviously, Dead or Alive is a game that has like extreme volleyball and all this kind of stuff, which has a photo posing mode, as does Dead or Alive 5. Yeah. But the fact that there are breast options in the game...
There's always been breast options too. I think since Dead or Alive 2, you could change your age, and if you put your age all the way up to 99, the breast would move a little bit more.
It's kind of creepy, though.
But at least it wasn't as bad as original Dead or Alive, where the breasts seemed to have a life of their own. And that's kind of like what the OMG mode is on Dead or Alive 5. The modes are, you have natural,
yeah,
and you have like Dead or Alive, and you have OMG, I think.
Okay,
three options. But then they're more like they were in Dead Alive 1 there. They just move by themselves even when the character's standing still, which is just a little bit weird.
That's kind of a bit creepy, let's be honest. Like, as much as we both like that fighting game, that's a little bit far.
But you expect it with Dead Alive. It's always been part of the series.
But does that make it right?
You can turn it off.
Is that just not a bit weird?
I guess. Halo Reach is a game we also played. Great fun. Always like a bit of Halo. I think Halo's one of the greatest first-person shooters ever made. We need to include it
in
the tournament. Super Monkey Ball, Monkey Fight. What a great multiplayer game Monkey Fight is.
I can't really remember playing Monkey Ball in multiplayer, no.
It's the one with the boxing gloves on springs and you're in
arenas.
It's very frantic. But a good fun multiplayer one, I thought. So we played those multiplayer games in practice for the tournament, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I did play a couple of other games this week.
Cool in the gang.
Oh, I think it's so much compared to last week.
How have you played so much? I haven't really played anything in comparison. I've done a lot of pickups.
We have had 4 days off work.
Yeah, that's true. And we have got another 5-day weekend coming. Yeah. Thank you, Denmark.
5-day weekend?
There's a 5-day weekend coming. We are off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
Monday.
No, we're not. We are. We're off for 5 days this coming week. So there'll be a lot of gaming to talk about in the podcast next week.
Okay. Sonic Heroes, played it for 10 minutes, realised why I stopped playing it. Camera angles terrible, fall off the levels so easily. Real shame, because I actually had fond memories of that one, thinking it was one of the better ones.
I remember you telling me it was one of the better ones, so it's a bit sucky that it's not the case.
Couldn't play it. Really frustrating. That's I'd like shame. To do a video just to show you how annoying this... I think maybe just one... I know it's... Yeah, it's in the game all over, but this particular level was particularly bad for it.
Okay.
Kiss Pinball I picked up. And played when I was back in UK, actually. It's pretty...
Didn't bring it with you?
No.
That's interesting.
It's not that good, really.
You're wearing a Kiss t-shirt as we speak.
Yeah, love Kiss. Not so keen on Kiss Pinball, really. I was playing it on PS3, and it didn't feel like it was reacting as soon as I pressed the button, instantaneously.
Okay.
Which is pretty important for a pinball game.
Yes.
Now, I don't know whether or not that was to do with the fact it was a wireless controller and there was a lag because it was a PS1 game.
I think you're giving it too much credit. I think it's probably the game.
It could be. It's not unplayable. It just is a slight... I felt that there was a slight little bit of lag there.
Yeah.
There's two tables. When you actually get into the game and get used to maybe the little bit of lag, it's okay. You know, the physics are all there.
Yeah.
Visually, it's nothing... Amazing.
It was a very early PS1 game from what I remember, though.
Music isn't Kiss.
No.
Generic.
Really?
Music.
That's interesting.
Could have done with some better presentation. Definitely would have made it more Kiss-like. Kirby's Tilt and Tumble. Didn't bring it back with me. It's very good and works very well.
Damn it. I really want to play that game. I'm a bit gutted you didn't bring it back.
I'll bring it back next time. For those not familiar, it's a game for the Game Boy Color, where you can move Kirby around top-down arenas by tilting the Game Boy, because it's got a motion sensor in the cartridge.
Yes.
Play the Japanese version. It's very import-friendly if you do want to get it, because it's more affordable. Very cheap, actually. I got about £5 on the Game Boy Color.
Yes.
Japanese version. Transparent pink cartridge as well.
It is a transparent pink cartridge. It looks very nice.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, I played Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Story... level I played was good. I rode a horse. There wasn't a lot of gameplay, really. Just getting from A to B, set pieces. I could kind of ignore shooting a lot of people and running to objectives, which felt like there wasn't a lot going on there. Okay. And it felt like quite a short mission. I didn't feel completely satisfied by the end of it. It did look very nice, though. And I kind of like riding the horse.
Yeah.
And then I thought, let's try some multiplayer. Couldn't find a game online for the Wii U. Black Ops 2 at all.
That's a shame.
Well, I found what one guy kept joining my room and seeing it was me again and
leaving.
That's pretty much it. Whoa, that was a lot of games. Oh, I picked up Mario Tennis for the Virtual Console.
Nice.
To play in the tournament.
Okay.
The N64 version Mario Tennis is still very good.
I really want to pick up the Game Boy Color one, which actually has RPG elements to it.
It does. It's very good.
Which excites me a lot. Right, then, I'm going to run through my pickups very, very quickly. I picked up the PS1 Classic 40 Winx from... I went to a shop in a town called Herning here in Denmark, very similar to the one I went to in Horsens. I believe it's part of the same chain. And they had a few retro games there that I kind of browsed through. There are a few N64 games which I actually want to go back and pick up, so I shall...
Really? What N64
leave
games?
Them nameless. I shall tell you off the air.
Oh, why?
Exciting, because I'm going to go back in the week and get them.
So people don't run out and buy them?
Yes, Thomas, because there's a fire sale on N64 games. Nice. Yes, I also picked up Grab by the Ghoulies for the Xbox. Rare classic, in inverted commas. I've never played it, so I wanted to give it a try. I hope it works on the 360. I remember it doing so. I remember it being able to be emulated. If not, I'm not going to buy an Xbox, so I won't be able to play it until I go back home around October.
It wasn't a game that particularly grabbed me by my ghoulies, I have to say.
Did it punch you in your ghoulies? Was it very offensive?
It wasn't, no, it's not bad.
Really?
It's just not particularly memorable.
That's a shame. I also bought some PS2 titles. I picked up Pac-Man Rally, Sonic Gems Collection, Dragon Guard 2, as the third one's just been released on the PS3, and I haven't played the second in the series, and Harvest Fishing, because I like the Harvest Moon games, called Legend of the River King in Japan. I picked up Rampage Puzzle Attack on the GBA, so I'm a big fan of Rampage.
Have you played that?
I have not had a chance. It's a brand new game. It's still in its cellophane, so I want to...
Is it like Columns, I wonder, or Tetris?
It's kind of got a Tetris-y vibe to it from what I saw. It's developed by Midway. I'm going to have a look at it, though, because A, I really like the Rampage franchise, and I'm kind of into puzzle games.
I'm guessing it'll be like Puzzle Fighter.
Do you reckon?
Mm.
Give that a quick Google while I run through the rest of them, I guess. Obviously, like I said, I picked up a copy of Watch Dogs on the PS4. I picked up Mario Kart 8 Limited Edition for the Wii U. And then, Thomas, we come to what can only be described as the dregs of my pickups. Well, two of them are kind of cool. I picked up in a flea market I went to yesterday. We went to several flea markets, me and my girlfriend Marta, and I picked up a copy of Puzzle Bobble 2 and Buster Move 4 in big boxes. They were versions of these games released for the PC. Puzzle Bobble does actually have the game in it. Buster Move 4 doesn't, but the box art was so lovely I didn't want to leave it behind. It's just a big blown-up picture of Bub on a pink background. Paid 20 krona for those, so like 2 quid for one of them would have been enough, but I got the nice box art of Buster Move 4, whereas Puzzle Bobbles is terrible. Looks like very early Photoshop. I'll take a picture of it.
At least you got the game with that one.
I did. Not that I'm going to play it ever anyways. Oh, that's kind of interesting.
We're looking at Rampage Puzzle Attack now, and it does look a little bit different to most of these block joining puzzle games.
If you add the colours together, they kind of merge into one larger block.
Like Puyo.
I guess it's like Puyo, right? It probably is.
But the way they don't just fall, you kind of have a line of them that you... It's very hard to describe this. Check it out if you're interested.
Have a look at it.
Rampage Puzzle Attack.
It's actually developed by a Finnish developer, only published by Midway.
Okay. It looks like it might be quite fun.
Ninai
But
games.
The proof is in the playing.
Indeed, we'll have to give it a go. Oh, that's interesting. It was the first console game that was developed in Finland, apparently.
My God. I didn't realise such a strong Scandinavian accolade.
Indeed. Well, whether it is or not, we shall see. And then the lowest point of my week, Thomas. While in this game shop, I happened to find an N-Gage title. And because of my love of Bubba Bobble and all things Bub and Bob, I actually picked up a sealed N-Gage copy of Puzzle Bobble. For the N-Gage. At the time, I thought, well, I've actually seen people swap this on things like Retro Collect for quite a few games. And I was like, well, you know, it's probably a nice thing to have in my collection. The box art for it was pretty nice. It had really nice renderings of the sprites in a animated style. And I was like, oh, I bet this is okay. I haven't got an N-Gage, but I thought, oh, this would just be a nice piece to have.
Are you tempted to maybe get an N-Gage?
Now that I've realised that it's absolutely worthless.
You could play Puzzle Bobble on anything, practically.
Yes.
Why would you want to play it on an N-Gage?
Because I want to be N-Gaged.
Okay, engaged.
Yes.
To you.
Yes. See, I made the same terrible, terrible pun that Nokia did in the 1990s.
Mm.
Still not funny now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I paid 150 fucking krona for this. So I paid close to like 16 quid for a sealed copy of Puzzle Bobble.
And it's worth nothing.
That's worth nothing. And I kind of kicked myself after it. I was just like, I've gone against everything I said of not just buying games for the sake of it. It kind of pissed me off a little bit in hindsight. But it was, the guy wanted 350 for it.
Really?
And I kind of got in the bidding war with him in the shop, and that's kind of why I bought it on principle that I wasn't going to pay 300
that's
krona.
Loopy. It's sealed.
Yeah, but that was pretty much the argument. And I kind of just got in this bidding war, and I was like, haha, I've taken your worthless game.
I'd be interested to open it and see what the cartridge looked like.
According to our good friend, fellow Brass Processor Paul, he said that they're very, very small. When he used to work in Blockbuster, they always used to lose them because they always used to fall out of the cases.
It's more like PS Vita.
I believe so. Almost like a PS DS Vita sized, I believe.
Mini SD.
I think it's like a mini SD card. Yeah, so but yeah, we maybe we'll open it. If anyone's got an N-Gage they really, really don't want, feel free to get in contact with us. I'm sure I'll take it off your hands just for the experience. And that's pretty much it for me. That's what I've bought this week. Mm. Also, I bought some Game Boy games as well, obviously. Not forgetting those. Yeah. I bought James Bond, Street Fighter 2, A Bug's Life, and Drop Zone.
You bought Bug's Life?
It was part of a thing. I just wanted Street Fighter
finally.
I think
that's bad.
It is supposed to be pretty bad.
Is it bad, or was the N64 one bad? I can't remember.
I'd imagine the N64 one's dire, but usually Game Boy ports are worse. So we shall see.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one. We'll find out, I guess.
We'll give it a look. And that brings us to the end, I guess, of this week's podcast. There are many more listening options available to you this week. Go check our interviews with both Mike Bithell and Jonathan Smith of TT Games.
Mm.
That's all we can really say. Give us a cheeky rate and subscribe in iTunes if this is your first time listening. Let us know feedback-wise what you think of the podcast at TMAcast on Twitter, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAttack. Also, if you have, as we've said, any experiences of playing Mario Kart or any of these other games like Wolfenstein on an Xbox One or a PS4, please let us know how that is for
you. Also, let us know if you've played Lemming's Touch, because I want to purchase this.
Is this for the Vita?
For the Vita. It came out last week. And I'm not sure what it's like. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I like the idea of some of these touch mechanics. I think it worked really well. Has any of you guys out there played it?
Aces?
Yeah, I'd love to find out if it's any good.
If it is, maybe I'll pick it up. Maybe we'll both play multiplayer. Yay! I'm sure there's local multiplayer in it. Also, if you enjoy the interviews, please let us know. We shall then try our damnedest to get some more people on the podcast to talk to us about games. Games you love, games we enjoy. There are a few in the pipeline, but we'll talk about them closer to the date. Until next time then, guys. Game on.
Game on.